Good afternoon and welcome. Okay. As Shalene said, my name is Victor Jose Santana, and I'm the Community Health Worker Coordinator for Community Voices Miami, a program at the Collins Center for Public Policy. And just to let you know, this is a leadership model. We believe that community health workers have a direct impact on our communities and our nation. Since 2005, we've trained over 150 community health workers. In 2006, in collaboration and support with the Children's Trust and the Community Access Program, we trained 56 community health workers, and 34 completed the training in 2007. Currently, we have 40 to 60 active members in the CHWNHN, or Health Navigator Network, that happens once a month. These are just some pictures of our first graduation. We did have one before, but this was the graduation that was stepped out of the pilot process. I just had to include these pictures because I was so proud. In regards to the level one training, we have four modules. The first module concentrates on the essentials of community health workers, the second on communications, the third on community workers' skills, and the fourth on community resources. And in addition to the four modules that happen during a week-long course at Miami-Dade College, there are 15 hours of field experience that the community health workers must complete with the supervision of an instructor and their supervisors at the agencies that they are placed. The performance evaluation consists of they must receive 70% passing score. They have a paper pencil test, which consists of 35% of the grade. Role playing is 15% of the grade. They also have an activity log, which is 15% of the grade as well. Written assignments, which are 25% of their grade, and an oral presentation, which is 10% of their grade. It's a very interactive course. The Community Health Worker Project was a very collaborative process. The way it began was we established a curriculum work group, and which met every other week on Tuesdays. We began with a quarterly meeting of a stakeholders group, and the stakeholders group consists of folks that are their agency community leaders that help us mold and support us and help us continue the work. We have bi-monthly project updates through the Community Health Worker Project News. It's an electronic newsletter we send out. And we are continuously fostering an effective relationship with Miami-Dade College, the Children's Trust, of course, and others interested in the project and CHWs in general. We also have quarterly supervisor meetings. So what we've found is that it's very important for the agencies and the supervisors of community health workers to also be involved in the process so they understand exactly what community health workers' roles and functions are, and also serve as a support, as well as they help. We do an exchange of communication. We can give information to the community health workers from the supervisors, as well as the community health workers can voice some of their concerns and issues. And as well, we have, again, the monthly network meetings. The Community Health Worker Project curriculum development, the steps have been, we first conducted review of national literature. We formed the curriculum work group, and they met on a regular basis to define the curriculum and its elements. We presented the recommendations to the stakeholders group, who gave us their feedback. Who the curriculum work group is? There are former curriculum group members that were part of the pilot, and there are also community health workers who received a certificate of completion for the level one training, and other interested participants. How did we do it? We had a total of 8 meetings today, every other Tuesday from 10 to noon, from November to March of this year. And actually, there was one meeting that happened in September. We met at Health Choice Network. The meetings continued until the end of March, and then again we met again this September. And we communicate through email, telephone, and one-on-one meetings. And the meeting notes are approved by all involved. The curriculum work group right now is currently finishing up levels 2 and 3. The level 2 is being revised. We're selecting topics and developing topics. And there's a lot of decision making that goes on in the curriculum work group. And this is really important because the curriculum is actually coming from the community health workers themselves. The proposed models for levels 2 and 3, after the first pilot, we revised it according to the evaluation. The level 2 also has 4 modules. The first module consists of the Florida Family Credentialing Program, which is a curriculum that was developed by Cornell University. Again, we talk about the essentials of community health workers. We address professional development, community progress, and levels 3 is still in progress. Right now, what we're hoping is that there will be, for module 1, 9 credit hours. Module 2 will be 3 credit hours. Module 3 will be 1 credit hour. Module 4, 3, and a practicum of 3 credit hours, a total of 19 credit hours. The Community Health Worker and Health Navigator Network is the place where community health workers and health navigators go to receive support and personal advocacy, where they address policy and systemic issues, where they help link other folks to care, where they brainstorm, they do cross trainings. There are supplemental trainings that occur after the training in these monthly meetings. It's also a great place for resource identification. Currently, the Children's Trust is funding 45 community health workers. Is that correct, 45? And so they're placed in different places in Miami-Dade. So a community health worker that's in North Miami can connect with a community health worker in South Miami. And if there are services that aren't offered in one place or the other, they have an opportunity to exchange and link up. And it's also the place where community health workers get connected to the larger work. Here are some of the trainings that were provided through the network. Immigration, community development, advocacy, cross-training, leadership development, and domestic violence. And this has been a very important piece of the community health worker support system and training. For instance, we had a huge issue in regards to immigration last year. The clinics noticed that there was a significant drop in attendance, and community health workers also noticed that there were less and less people coming to the clinics. And what we found out through some of our research and our contacts was that there were some raids occurring locally. So people were scared that if they went to the clinics, they were going to get picked up or taken away. So what we did was we partnered up with the Florida Immigration and Advocacy Center, and they were able to give us some training around immigrant rights. What we're finding out as well is that community health workers are natural researchers, and they're endorsing progressive policies. Some of the policy targets that they've been focusing on for this last year are restrictions on community health centers. And this came about because in a lot of these centers, there are sliding fee scales. So one of the things that we'd like to see in the future is that you can go to unlike what happens now, you can go to one clinic and pay a certain amount, and you can make the same amount of money and go to another clinic and pay either less or more. We've also focused on this 5-year ban on kid care, and what that does is there's a restriction on kid care, which states that if you're not a resident of a legal resident of Florida, you're not eligible for kid care unless you've been living there for 5 years. Statistically speaking, there are about 900 people that move to Florida a day. The other thing that we've seen is the presumptive presumptive eligibility for pregnant women. And this has been set up for pregnant women who don't qualify for Medicaid, and this gives them a 45-day period where they can get health coverage. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that many of them are being cut off from this coverage within 2 weeks, so they're not actually completing the 45 days. We're also developing fact sheets on CHW associations and local and national networks. We've talked about preventive care. The other issue in regards to access has been the re-entry issue. We have a lot of folks that are coming out of the prison systems and the jail systems and don't have a permanent place to live, don't have IDs, and this has actually been a very difficult group to try and access and link to health care, as well as homelessness. If you don't have an address, it's very difficult to get people adequate care. Domestic violence has also been quite an issue because it ties into the homelessness issue. If you have a family who's experiencing domestic violence and they're from house to house, and they're not able to get services because they don't have that permanent place. Our audience at the moment are policymakers and community leaders, community health workers, and of course participants. Sharing our stories. This has also been a very important endeavor for community health workers. Excuse me. Miami community health workers were featured in a book created by the Northern Manhattan Community Voices Collaborative. The book called Community Health Workers, Lives, Stories, and Dreams dedicates a space for community health workers to share their experiences as new community health workers to the field and how important it is to them to help others. As well, our stories are being documented through fact sheets, each with recommendations and personal stories. And we've connected with other folks like Princeton University, the Center for Migration and Development, who are also doing research in regards to immigration and access barriers. And most recently, we've been contacted by the Medicare Quality Improvement Organization for Florida, who's interested in working with us in regards to training community health workers around diabetes. Data collection has also been a very hot topic. We began to develop some data collection tools through the Community Access Program, which occurred last year from June 2006 to April of 2007. And the Children's Trust Health Connect program was able to adopt some of the CAP data collection tools, and we were able to standardize these data collection tools among six health networks. In addition, right now CAP data is being finalized and Health Connect data continues to be collected. In regards to promoting equal access, we're involved in a few conferences and organizations. At the moment, there is the development of the American Association of Community Health Workers, which I am the co-chair of the Vision and Bylaws Committee, and Ms. Sonia Joseph is part of the Membership and Outreach Committee. This year, there was also a conference in Washington, D.C., called the Wise Investment, and it focused on financing and integrating CHWs into the healthcare system. Community health workers have participated in the annual Unity Conference in Tampa. They've also participated in the Healthcare Access Task Force of Miami, Florida. And they've also participated in the Miami-Dade County Healthcare Access Summit, which happened in 2006 and 2007. And the Healthcare Access Summit brought together residents, community leaders, and community health workers to specifically talk about the gaps in our healthcare system. We're also working with local hospitals, clinics, and community health centers, and it's an ongoing process. The other initiative that we've been involved with is Men's Health, and there was a Men's Health conference that also happened in Washington, D.C. in 2007 that we were very involved. And that is also important because we've been, through our own experiences and the statistics that are coming out, our men of color are lacking many, many services. And we are definitely involved and wanting to make sure that people are aware of this issue. The Community Voices National Conference, it focused on research and demonstrating the contributions of community health workers to increase access and give high quality and efficient health care. It addressed significant barriers, specifically the lack of stable and mainstream financing. And we've been very fortunate that there've been some people at the legislative level that are promoting legislative bills in Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, Tennessee, New Mexico, and New Jersey. And what they're promoting is community health workers, and to make sure that our state budgets are including community health workers in their budgets. Our lessons learned has one of them has been that effective coordination and team building require a dedicated presence or an ombudsman, a community health worker to the community health workers. Oftentimes, the community health workers are coming from the communities that they serve. So they come with many of the same issues that the communities that they serve are dealing with. So it's very important that they as well have the support that they need in order to do their work. So that's where also the CHW network meetings come into play and play a very supportive and important process. Community health workers and health navigators are highly motivated to build the network and contribute to the policy discussion. And part of the success of building the curriculum comes from the devoted leadership that comes from them. This has been a long process, and the opportunities to both impact the way people receive care and to inform public health policy are truly infinite. And of course, we need sustained project leadership. In regards to moving forward, our hope is to develop a clearinghouse that would collect data, coordinate and promote trainings, work with providers, and consolidate the community health worker network. And also have a space where we could showcase the programmatic work while informing public policy through the real-time work of community health workers and health navigators. And we're hoping that through the American Association of Community Health Workers, we develop local and state chapters. And that's pretty much it for my presentation. My contact information is here, and feel free to contact me at your leisure. Thank you.